When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
And welcome back to Mads World. I'm your host, Mads, and I hope you've been enjoying the show so far. If you have, please remember to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, as it's the simplest way to help out the show. Also, I would really appreciate it if you would vote for me this year in the British Podcast Awards for the Listener's Choice Award. Just head to the British Podcast Awards website, click on Listener's Choice Award, search for Mads World, and cast your vote. And don't forget to verify your vote in your email. This week, I'm joined by social media sensation Becca Butcher, who was born with a rare chest muscle deformity condition called Pollen syndrome. Pollen syndrome is a condition that causes a lack of muscle development on one side of the body. It's primarily characterized by the lack of chest wall muscles, so as a result, Becca only developed one boob. Becca uses her social media pages to share her story, educate people, and raise awareness of Pollen syndrome. She's a bloody rock star, and I just loved recording this episode with her so much. In this episode, we discuss her experiences with a catfish. Strap yourself in, because that story is a wild one. Her personal experiences with Pollen syndrome, her diagnosis journey, the impact it has on her daily life, the misconceptions people have about the syndrome, societal pressures around femininity, and how society can better support people with differences. Hello, Becca.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast. I love having a fresh face. And as we were just saying, I've had the busiest day ever. So it's nice to chat about something so different. And so interesting. So up first, I was hoping you could do our speed date question round so everyone listening can learn a bit more about you.
Yeah.
So my first question is, what is your favorite pop culture moment?
When that boat blocked the Suez Canal. I don't know why, that was just...
Oh, it's such a throwback,
such a good
isn't
day.
It? And it was so random. Like, just the fact that that even happened baffles me. Like, sometimes things happen in this world and I'm like, where has this come from? I'm just sitting here thinking, like, what's next? What new weird thing is just going to happen? My next question for you was, what is your greatest achievement?
Probably when I won the Yorkshire Blogger Award last year.
Oh, congrats. That's such
Thank
a cool
you.
One. What does that mean? What does that entail? Like, did you enter? Like, what other kind of bloggers was there?
They have loads of awards for different genres of bloggers. So you've got like fashion, travel, home, and I won the Disability and Mental Health Award.
Oh,
and I didn't
awesome.
Even know that I had been nominated. I just got an email saying, you've been shortlisted. And I was like, I had no idea.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
So we went to the award show October last year.
Yeah.
In Leeds. And I didn't think that I was going to win.
Yeah.
And they got on the stage and they said, the winner is. And then they said my name. And I was like, oh
what?
My God.
So how did they find you? Like, who nominated you?
I still don't know. I still have no idea.
Oh my God. Well done to whoever out there nominated you. Hopefully they listen to this and then they can be like, it was me.
Yeah, whoever you are, I'd like for you to come forward if you're watching this.
Oh, that's so nice. And my final question for this round is, you mentioned to me previously about a catfishing story.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that you could tell us a bit more about this experience, because we've spoken about catfishing previously on the podcast, but not for a long time now. And I always find these stories quite fascinating. So yeah, I'd love if you could take us through it.
Yeah. So I was in high school. I think I started high school when I was 11. I think. And while I was there, I met a guy the same age as me, and he was in a lot of my classes. And we became pretty good friends pretty quickly. We had a lot in common. And over the 5 years that we were in high school together, he asked me to be his girlfriend a couple of times. And I always said, no, I just see you more as a friend. And then in the last year of high school, he told me that he had a girlfriend. And I wanted to meet her because we're friends and he wanted his girlfriend and his friend to get along. Mm-hmm. So, and I hoped that him having a girlfriend would mean he would leave me alone.
Yeah.
So he wanted me to meet his girlfriend, but anytime I tried to arrange with her to meet up, because I had her on like Facebook, anytime I tried to arrange to meet with her, she was ill. She had cancer.
Oh, wow.
So she was like always unwell, which I understood, and like I wasn't going to keep pushing her when I knew that she wasn't well and she was having cancer treatments in hospital. So after about a year of trying to arrange to meet her and hearing all about her from him, he would come to me and say, oh, she's got like this, I bought her this pet dog, and when she died I think he took on the dog. She eventually, unfortunately, she passed away.
Oh.
And he came over to my house and he was crying, and he brought me a bracelet that was hers that she wanted me to have, and like a message from her saying, thank you for being such a good friend, and I'm sorry we didn't get to meet. And I was absolutely devastated, and I was there to support him through this because he was crying.
Yeah.
And now he had like a dog and he had to support her family, and like it was just a really hard time.
Yeah, that's horrible. I'm so sorry.
A year later, he got a new girlfriend. And this is when I started to get a bit suspicious, because she had Instagram. And she would post pictures of her at the gym, and she would post pictures of bras, and she would post pictures of my friend asleep. So at first I wasn't suspicious.
Yeah.
But then anytime I tried to arrange to meet with her, there was always an excuse of, oh, I've got to work, I'm helping my parents. She was originally from China, but she was living in England temporarily, and she had to go back to China. And I really wanted to see her before she left, and she sent me pictures of her plane tickets and told me where she was going to be living in this small village, and I Googled it and it was real. So I didn't have any reason to suspect that she was not real.
So
she moved back to China, and after like maybe a year, and again, my friend was absolutely devastated and crying, and I had to be there to support him. And then after she left, I felt bad, because I was just kept thinking, I didn't try hard enough. I should have made more of an effort to see her. Like, that's two girlfriends now that I've not been able to see, and I was really upset. And she would, when she was with him, she would ask me about like my favorite, like as girls do, she would be like, so are you, like, how's your period? Do you get heavy period? What kind of bras do you think I should try? And like, so like talking to another girl, things I wouldn't talk to a guy about. Like,
and when you're a teenager as well, like that stuff just comes up, because it's like what you're all going through at the same time. Like, that's quite normal.
So I would talk to her about like boobs and bras and periods and boys. And one day she asked, why did you reject my boyfriend in high school? And I was like, I just see him more as a friend.
Oh,
and she was like, well, we have great sex. We have sex all the time. And I was like, okay.
Cool.
And then she was like, do you have any like toys? Do you like use sex toys? What's your favorite sex position? And I was like, no.
Yeah, like it's getting weird now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she moved to China.
Oh, God. I can see where it's going, and it's not good. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she moved to China, and he then said to me, her sister is sending me inappropriate pictures of herself.
What?
Yeah. And I said, no, you're kidding. And he said, no, I'm not kidding. And he showed me these pictures, and it was three different women in these pictures. What? So I thought, oh, my God, he's being catfished.
Yeah.
Because I've known this guy for 7 years. Like, why would he be the one catfishing me? That didn't come into my head.
Yeah, it wouldn't, because you trust someone and you know them and you know their family. Like,
So, like, I said to him, have you met the sister? Like, I didn't want to, like, I didn't want to let him know. Like, I wanted to let him down gently and let him know you're being tricked here.
Yeah.
So I said, have you met her? And he said, yeah, no, I've definitely met her. Those are all her. I've been in her bedroom. That picture was taken in her bedroom. And I was looking at these pictures like, that is three different Asian women. That is not, like, I don't know how you're looking at that and thinking that is the same person. So I ended up reverse Google image searching these pictures, and it came up with this Chinese porn website that he had taken them from. Yeah, and then I was like, he lied to me about the sister. Did he lie to me about having a girlfriend? So then I took her pictures from Instagram and reverse image searched them, and I found on Google Images all the pictures of his girlfriend. So I asked him about
it.
And I was like, you've been lying to me.
Oh, like, my God.
Are your girlfriends real or fake? And he said, okay, the girl from China wasn't real, but the one that died from cancer was real. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to find out if someone from that name died in that hospital on that date.
Did that even occur to you that the first one was fake?
No.
Yeah, it wouldn't have even occurred.
No, because he was crying.
Yeah.
He was crying at my house, and I had her bracelet that she gave me, and she didn't exist. It turns out she wasn't real.
So you rang the hospital?
No, I didn't. I told him that I was going to, and then he confessed and said, okay, fine, you caught me. But
But you like grieved for this person.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And so the whole cancer story was probably so he could put an end to it when he was ready to stop catfishing.
Yeah. Well, oh, I ended up posting about it on YouTube. I didn't name him. But somebody that I went to school with saw that and messaged me, and they said, is it about this guy? And I said, well, how did you know that? And she said, well, he did the same thing to me, but he told me that he had cancer and that he was dying.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And so did you, you're obviously not friends now. Like, did ties or like?
Literally, as soon as I found out the truth, I blocked him and I haven't spoken to him since, but it's been 8 years.
I'm so sorry that happened to you. Cause honestly, it's not only do you feel like you've been lied to and tricked and stuff, but you also lose a friend. Like, that's so, it's so tough.
And it made me really paranoid from that point on, because anybody that I interacted with on Instagram, I thought, is it him making another fake account? Like, it made me really paranoid.
Oh my God. And you know what? It's almost like when you get cheated on, you have this overwhelming feeling of, I've not done anything wrong here, but this person's actions are just going to affect me for the rest of my life and like affect my trust. And it's so unfair that other people's behavior and actions just have this ripple effect on you. Like, they'll just go on and you might do it again, or your boyfriend or your ex-boyfriend might go on and cheat on new girlfriends. But it's like, that's something that sits with you and affects your trust in other people. It's just so wrong. And so, bizarre.
Coincidentally,
that whole situation.
At the same time, I found out the truth while I was in college. And in that time, I was actually being stalked by a guy in my college class.
Oh, God.
Who was like sexually harassing me and confessing his love to me every day. And every time I rejected him, he'd become aggressive. And he said that he was going to hurt my boyfriend at the time for coming between us. And he was just like following me around the town. He would just show up wherever I was. And I would go to this friend, the catfish, that I didn't know was catfishing me, and talk about this. And he'd be like, ugh, men are disgusting. I can't believe men would do that to you. Like, how can a man treat you that way? And the whole time...
He's lying.
Yeah. The whole time he was just as bad, pretty much.
That's an insane story. God, I honestly, they've got Catfish UK now as well. I find it every time. I'm like, it just baffles me. People who engage in catfishing behavior must have so much going on below the surface. And yeah, what a wild story. Thank you for sharing.
No problem. I'm happy to talk about it. I'm glad to be talking about it now in like a kind of turning it around to make it into a positive, I guess.
Yeah, something at least that people can hopefully, if someone out there listening, it's happened to them, then they know that they're feeling less alone. Oh, well, thank you so much for doing this BJ question round.
No problem.
In a total pivot to a whole new discussion, I'd love if you could share your personal experience with Pollen syndrome and how you discovered it and what your journey has been like with Pollen syndrome.
Yeah, of course. So I was in high school when I started going through puberty. I think I was about 13. And I realized that one of my boobs was growing and the other one wasn't. So I was quite concerned, but I gave it some time and just thought it will even out. And as the years went on, it just didn't. The bigger one kept getting bigger and the small one just stayed underdeveloped and small and like it hadn't grown at all.
Okay.
So I went to see my doctor.
Yeah.
And I said, I think something's wrong. And they said, oh, it's normal. Every woman has one bigger than the other. It will grow. You haven't finished going through puberty yet. There's still time. So I gave it another year. Still, like, the bigger one is only getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so I went back to the doctor again. And for years, they kept brushing me off and being like, stop worrying about it. It will grow. There is nothing wrong with you. This is normal. And eventually, after a while, I started to have to, like, stuff my bra with socks on the smaller side. I would buy bras that were too small to try and push back the bigger one. And when that didn't work anymore, I had to pad out the smaller side to make it look bigger because I didn't want anybody to know. It was so embarrassing.
Yeah, and so when you're a teenager, you're already feeling so self-conscious about the changes that your body's going through, and like trying to deal with that when you're not dealing with something that's outside the norm is hard enough.
Yeah, and like in high school, all the girls would have to get changed in the changing rooms together, and everybody had two boobs, and I just didn't. So I would feel really self-conscious and try to kind of turn away and hide my chest, or try and get out of doing PE in the first place because I didn't want people to look at my chest. And then boys got to that age where they were like, oh, I would never date a girl with small boobs, I love big boobs. And you start to think, well, all boys care about our boobs. I was like 15, so I was really self-conscious, and I never considered having surgery. I just wanted to know why it was happening, so I could like at least I was worried it might have been cancer. It might have been, you know, maybe they were both supposed to be small and the bigger one is a problem and it's got like a growth in it or something, or a tumor.
And I hate that the doctor just dismissed you as well. Like, it just, it feels like there's so many issues, especially women's issues.
And they were all men.
Pushed aside and like just told that it's nothing to worry about when actually it is quite concerning. Like, that makes me, that makes me feel so angry for your teenage self. Anyway, continue, sorry.
So I ended up Googling on the internet, like, why do I have one boob? What is happening? And it came up with Poland syndrome. And at first I saw the name Poland syndrome and thought, well, I'm English, I'm not Polish, so this doesn't relate to me. So I kept like skipping over it and not reading it because I just thought, that's not, nothing to do with me, until I found out that Poland syndrome is actually like the name of the condition. It's named after the doctor Alfred Poland. It's not named after the country. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes more sense. So I started to read into it, and it said that people with Poland syndrome have a deformed chest muscle on one side, and it can either be completely missing or it can be small and deformed and like underdeveloped. And for some people, it you can have like no breast tissue at all. For some people, you have a little bit of breast tissue, but it's still underdeveloped. And for some people, their chest actually concaves inwards. Some people are missing a nipple. For me, it's just like smaller. It's like just like less than an A cup. But then like my larger side is like an E. So it's quite, it's quite a big difference. So it was, when I found out that I had, when I found out what Poland syndrome was, I went back to my doctor. And he said, I've never heard of this in my life. Like, this isn't a real thing. And I was like, it is. God,
so frustrating.
So he sent me to the hospital to meet with a breast specialist. And she also had no idea what that was. So as I was leaving the hospital, a nurse in the corridor saw my chest and said, Poland syndrome. I've seen that once before.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So me and my mum were like, oh my God, like,
what are the odds of that? That's so
I know.
Lucky.
So she took us into like a side room that was for like families. And she said that she's only ever seen it once before in her entire life. And that it's really hard to get a diagnosis for. But she's pretty sure that's what it is. So she told me to go back to the doctor and tell them that. So I went back to my doctor again. And they sent me to a couple of different breast specialists in different areas. And some said, yes, that's what it is. And some said, no, it can't be because I've never heard of it. But they could never tell me what else it would be.
Yeah.
And by that point, I was about 17 or 18.
Oh, it's exhausting. It's such a long process.
Yeah. And they were still saying like, oh, well, it might still grow. It might still grow. And I was like, I think I know my body. I think that I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and suddenly go from an A to an E. Like,
cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I just wanted to make sure that I didn't have anything cancerous in there. So because I was so concerned about this cancer thing, they sent me for an ultrasound on my chest, and that showed that the muscle is deformed. So then they were like, okay, yeah, it's got to be Poland syndrome then. But they still didn't know much about it. One doctor said to me that when he was in medical school, his teacher said, yeah, there's this thing called Poland syndrome, but you're never going to see it, so we don't need to learn about that.
Oh.
So,
oh, annoying.
Yeah. So when I realized that that's what I had, they kept offering me surgery. They kept saying, you can have a boob job, you know, you can have the small one made bigger, you can have the bigger one reducted and make it smaller. We can take the muscle from your back and pull it to the front, and then you've got two muscles on the front.
Wow, yeah.
And I just didn't want any of those. I wasn't really bothered about changing it. I just wanted to understand what it is and why I have it and make sure it's not going to kill me, you know?
Yeah. And why do you have it? What causes it? Is it unknown? Is there going to be knock-on effects later in life? I guess that's the stuff that you need to know that you were interested in finding out.
They're still not sure why exactly it happens, but there's a theory that it happens when a fetus is being developed in the womb. If there's a lack of oxygen to the body or to the brain, then it kind of stops parts of the body developing. But I think that's just like for any deformity and any disability. It's kind of, they're just going off of the generic, well, lack of oxygen causes all these other problems, so it's got to be what causes Poland syndrome. But it's not genetic. It doesn't pass down through families, and my parents don't have it. If I had a kid, they wouldn't have it.
Really?
So it's not like genetic. It's just something that just happens sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's so rare that like most doctors never see it. So when I was finally told that this is what you have, the hospital wanted to take some pictures of my chest for kind of like medical research purposes. And they said that they were going to give them to like students. And I've had quite a few medical students come and have a look at me.
Yeah.
I've gone to see doctors about other conditions, like arthritis, for example. And they've said, oh, I can see that you've got Poland syndrome. I've never seen that before. Can I see it? And I'm like, no, I'm here about my hands, not my boobs.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not getting my boobs out.
That's so invasive. That's such an invasive question. And it's like, it's not in a safe space for them to be asking that at all.
No.
It's so inappropriate.
Yeah, but luckily I've not had anything like that for a few years now. But I think that's because I've stopped going to the doctor about it, because now I know what it is. I'm not too worried. I don't have to keep going back and asking for updates. Every so often I do go and get like checked out just to make sure that everything is still okay in there, as I think anyone should. Because obviously it's important to check your breasts for like health and lumps and bumps and things. So I always go back, because obviously when it comes to checking your breasts, you know, you're supposed to feel for lumps and bumps. My smaller one feels different anyway because of the deformity.
Yeah.
So I never know what it's supposed to feel like.
Yeah,
so I go and get like a professional doctor to do it for me because I want to make sure that I'm being safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But a lot of people ask like, what does it feel like? And I don't know what to compare it to because that's all I've ever had. It's not like I've had two boobs and then lost one and now I'm kind of adjusting to the sensation of having just one. I've just always had one.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it feels like to have two.
Yeah, it's just your normal.
Yeah. And when it comes to buying bras, people always ask, like, how do you buy bras and swimsuits? And I always buy for the bigger side.
Yeah.
You shouldn't buy for the smaller side. For anybody that's got any kind of breast asymmetry, even if it's just a little bit, you should always buy for the bigger side because it's more comfortable and supportive that way. So the doctors kept pushing surgery, like, all the time. Every time I'd go back to the doctor, they would be like, don't forget, surgery's an option. Don't forget, you could have surgery. Don't forget, are you sure? You might change your mind. The offer is still there because, you know, you'll probably change your mind. And I'm like, I think I know what I do and don't want for my own body.
And if you do change your mind, you'll let them know.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I asked them to take me off of, like, the list because I don't know if I was on some list somewhere that kept flashing up on their screen. Don't forget to ask her about the boob job. But they said they could have done like implants. There could have been like a bag thing that they inflate over time.
Wow.
Could have done like a fat transfer. But I never wanted to change it.
Yeah.
The only thing it makes difficult is, you know, buying bras and swimsuits. But other than that, it doesn't really it's, I think some people think that because it's my larger one is so big, it's kind of pulling me to one side. So people often ask, do you walk lopsided? Like, are you off balance? And I'm like, no. Like,
is it men that ask that? I feel like it would be men that ask that.
Yes, it's usually men. But I tried to look into, like, finding, when it came to looking up Poland syndrome, I could not find any pictures of any women that had this condition anywhere. I could find lots and lots of men, but there weren't any pictures of any boobs on the internet that looked like mine. So I thought, well, if, like, I can't find people, there's got to be other people out there who are also finding nothing. So maybe they could find me. So yeah. I started to post on Instagram and YouTube about it. And from there, it kind of, my posts blew up. And yeah. then the news picked up on it, and then I was in magazines and newspapers, and then I got more followers. And from there, it just kind of grew a social media following from it. And it wasn't what I'd, like, it wasn't, I didn't plan that to happen. I didn't know that like, yeah. I didn't know that was going to happen. I just thought, if I'll just post about my chest, I'll find, like, two other people. And I've now yeah. spoken to, like, 1,000 women with this condition all around the world.
And it's so cool that you can turn it into something positive, at least, to help other people and connect other people. That's such a cool thing about social media, is that obviously there's so many bad parts that everyone loves yeah. to talk about, but connection with, like, niche communities and like-minded people is such an awesome thing that in, like, the 80s they'd have no chance, like, if it was already yeah. such a rare syndrome to have yeah. and there was no social media and no way of finding connection and doctors are turning you away, people probably wouldn't have ever been diagnosed.
No, I've spoken to so many women that are, like, older, and they've had the surgery, but they said that they weren't given an option. They weren't told that you can say no, it's your body. It was just, women have to have two boobs, so you're going to have to go through with the surgery. Yeah. And they ended up suffering with complications because the muscle is deformed, and usually if you get, like, an implant, they put that on top of your muscle. But because it's deformed, oftentimes for people with Poland syndrome, there's a chance that the implant might flip and rupture inside you, and then you get, like, infections and things. So a lot of these women have had, they said, we didn't want to have surgery, we just didn't think we had a choice.
Yeah, you didn't think there was another option to just live as you are.
And
yeah.
a lot of people don't know that if you have, like, breast implants, every so many years you can get them replaced. Sometimes they kind of, like, get outdated. So when people say, oh, you should just get a boob job, it's like, yeah, but I could end up having to have another one in 10 years and then another 10 years and another 10 years, I might have to keep getting it replaced. So it's not really, to me, worth all the risks that come along with surgery. I mean, there's risks with any surgery.
If it's just cosmetic as well, like if it's just something so that you can look and feel different, I mean, as you said, the complications that come with that, if you're comfortable in who you are, like, you're perfect as you are. And if there's no complications that are going to come from that, I mean, why change it if it's something that you're comfortable with?
I completely understand why there are some people out there that aren't comfortable with it. Like, I'm not anti-surgery. I'm pro do what you want with your own body. And so if people want to have surgery and it will make them feel better, and if it helps fix their mental health and their self-confidence, then they should absolutely go for it. I'm not here to tell anybody that they can't do something with their own body. It's just I don't want it.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of it being pushed onto me when I've said no so many times, and I don't want it to be pushed onto other people so that they don't realize they have a choice. As long as someone has a choice, then that's everything. That's what matters to me, is that whether they say yes or no to it, as long as that they were given the option and not forced into something that they didn't want to do.
In what ways have you seen the experiences of women with Poland syndrome differ from those of men? So I know that you mentioned that men can have the syndrome as well. Is there specific challenges that you think women face that men don't? I mean, everything that we've just spoken about in regards to body image and the cosmetic side of things, I suppose that doesn't apply to men, or does it? What would you say in regards to that?
I have spoken to some men that still that have it, and they felt very self-conscious about it, and they had the surgery to bring their back muscle to the front so that it looks even. But again, there's a risk that your body might reject that, and then you've lost your back muscle and your front muscle.
Oh God!
So
yeah.
you can't win. And sometimes it works out, but oftentimes surgeons refuse to do that surgery because it's just too risky. But I know men that have had that surgery and feel better for it. But there are guys that haven't had surgery and they still feel self-conscious, and they'll say, well, I'll keep my shirt on if I go swimming. But obviously they don't have to deal with, like, buying bras and bikinis and being sexualized. I've had a lot of weird men tell me that they like me because of my chest, and they're into it, and they're like, it's like having, if I like a girl with big boobs and I like a girl with small boobs, and you've got both, so it's like having two girlfriends at once. And I'm like, No.
No. Oh, so I guess that leads into my next question as well about societal pressures and expectations around femininity and beauty. How have you navigated that, and how has this impacted your personal body image?
Thankfully, it hasn't impacted me personally, because I don't really care what people think about my body. I've just always been very unbothered about other people's opinions of my body, luckily. But I know that there are so many people out there that are affected by it. And I get messages every single day from girls saying that they feel so self-conscious about it. Like you said, there's like this societal expectation of what femininity and what a woman should look like. Mm-hmm. And that would be having two big boobs. And you're told from a young age, if you've got two small boobs, then you're not woman enough and you're not sexy. Mm-hmm. And it's ridiculous. Like, mm-hmm. you can be sexy with small boobs, one big boob, two big boobs, like whatever.
Yeah.
Like, femininity and a woman's body is whatever we make it. It's not, it shouldn't just be one set standard of, or a box that you're supposed to fit in. Mm-hmm. I've had people say that I'm actually trans or half man because they think that I have one small chest because I'm half man on that side of my body. And I'm like, women can just have small boobs sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, God. And what do you think, in terms of making a difference, how do you think that society and healthcare providers and individuals, how can all of those things better support and advocate for women and men with Poland syndrome? What do you think is the best way to make a change?
I think that doctors and surgeons and medical professionals in general really need to look into what Poland syndrome is and be educated on it. And I've spoken to families and parents who said that another thing that Poland syndrome can cause for people is they can be missing fingers on one side, on the same side as the chest.
I did read about this, that there was a few different symptoms that, and not always just the breast or the tissue in the chest. Yeah.
So I've only got the chest, like my hands are fine, it's just my chest. But for some people, they're missing fingers and have deformities like elsewhere in the body. So from birth, you can kind of tell that that child has Poland syndrome because they're born without fingers and you can see that something's wrong. But I've heard from families that said that they gave birth and literally the midwife took the baby out of them and then screamed and was like, what is wrong with this child?
Oh, God.
Like the second it was brought into the world, which obviously worried the parents.
Yeah.
But I think that people need to be more, healthcare providers need to be more considerate of how they talk to and about people with disabilities and physical differences, because reacting like that is just really hurtful and concerning. God,
and so dramatic.
Yeah. And I think that if a girl or a young person, whoever, goes to a doctor and says, my boobs are uneven, they need to be taken like seriously. I'm not saying that you need to give them like breast scans and things, but like instead of just brushing it off and saying it's normal, go away, stop bothering me, like say, yeah, you know what, we'll check back in like a couple of months and let me know if anything's changed, and have you why don't you look into this and why don't you look into that, rather than completely brushing them off. Like so many women's health issues are always being brushed off by doctors all the time. Like, they don't take us seriously.
It concerns me thinking about women of color and women that are overweight or obese as well. I think that doctors are quite quick to dismiss the issues in those minority groups as well. So something like this, I mean, I guess in a way you have a privileged standpoint in that you're a white woman and you're thin, and there's so many other blockers that are in place for different communities that they may never get diagnosed if they have Poland syndrome, you know?
Yeah, I do hear from a lot of like people from different ethnicities and different backgrounds that contact me, and they have Poland syndrome and they've said like, I'm really struggling to get a diagnosis. And I mean, I couldn't get a diagnosis for years, but I still knew that I had it. And like, we know our bodies better than anybody else ever will. So to those women, I would say, like, if you know and you've checked yourself and you know that you have this, then it's okay to say that you have it. You don't have to wait for a doctor to officially diagnose you. I think self-diagnosis sometimes can be really helpful because it helps you find a community of people and it helps you understand yourself and it gets rid of that anxiety in your head of what could it be.
Yeah.
And like you said, not everyone has access to medical help, depending on like their background or maybe where they are in the world. I've heard from people in like Africa, for example, who say that like they've struggled to get like a doctor to take them seriously because in that country that they weren't really educated on what it was. And a lot of people said that they first heard about it from me Mm-hmm. And really? I've had to be who they've come to for like information.
Wow. And that's a lot for you to to manage as well, like emotionally.
Yeah. I just wish there was like a universal, this is what it is. And
yeah, an understanding.
Like all doctors everywhere need to be aware of what this is.
And something that my mum always says too, she's an ICU nurse. She says that like the doctors always say to them and what they say to the new nurses is listen to your patients. If your patient's telling you they've got something wrong or they've got this and they've probably done all of this research and Googling, like just listen to them and actually try and comprehend what they're telling you rather than being like, oh, it could be this. Like I think that's just such good advice because I feel like every time I go to the doctor, I have a pretty good idea of what it probably is. And if I'm going in there and saying it, and then, I mean, I've had like a few health issues the last year and I literally am going to the doctor saying, it's this, it's this, it's this. I know it's this. And they're like, but you don't have this one symptom. So it's probably just IBS or something. And you're like, no, like just listen to me. So yeah. And something else I was going to say as well is that you mentioned to me that you're working with, is it PIP? Is it pronounced PIP?
Yeah. Yeah, PIP.
Yeah. Can you talk to me about PIP and any other specific initiatives or campaigns that you think would be beneficial in raising awareness? I guess stuff like podcasts is great and the work that you're doing is really great on social as well. But yeah, can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, PIP is a charity in England. They're called PIP UK, but they help people all over the world. You don't have to just be in England to talk to PIP or to get their advice. And they kind of advocate for people with Poland syndrome and they host at Birmingham Children's Hospital. They have like every few months there's like a Poland syndrome clinic where they get the surgeons to meet with families of children that have the condition or that think they have the condition to try and get them a diagnosis. Sam, who is the founder of PIP, she will go with women who are having meetings with their surgeons to make sure that they're not being taken advantage of and to kind of advocate for them and to let them know their rights, because a lot of people do end up being taken advantage of or not being told of the risks of surgery. Like when I met with a surgeon, not because I wanted surgery, but to get more information, they never told me about all the risks that come with it. They just kept trying to push the surgery.
Is that because it comes with the cost? Are they trying to, is it private or?
No, it was. Oh, like I wouldn't have had to pay for it.
Oh.
It was included in like the NHS, so it would all be paid for by them rather than me. But it's weird because obviously depending where you live in England, you'll get a different answer. Like I've heard from women in England that say I want to have I have Poland syndrome and I wanted to have surgery and they told me that I had to pay. But then in other places they've gone to a doctor and they've said you can have it for free. But you'd think that because it's all on the NHS that you would get equal offers everywhere, but apparently depending on which doctor you see and where you are, you get a different response. And some say you need to have a reduction and some say you need to have an implant, and it's not like I said, we don't have like this universal
like a rule book of what to do. Yeah,
doctors
like
just make it up. So whoever you just all depends on who you see and where and when. It depends on what kind of response you're going to get.
Yeah. And I guess that leads me into my very last question is, what are your hopes for the future in terms of empowering and supporting women with Poland syndrome? And what sort of changes would you hope to see?
I hope that we'll see more representation. It doesn't just necessarily have to be Poland syndrome. Obviously, there are other deformities and conditions that can mean that you have uneven boobs. Like tuberous breast, for example.
Yes, my friend is doing a campaign. Her name's
Kitty.
Totally tubular. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I know
Kitty's
Kitty.
So great. Yeah. Actually, I think maybe she recommended you to me
to
get in touch with. She's so brilliant.
We're going to be working on a campaign together, actually, about like breast health and awareness and stuff.
Awesome. Love to get involved. So let me know when you kick it off.
Yeah, I'll definitely let you know.
Yeah.
But I'd love for more things like that, like more people with these conditions to come out and talk publicly and to kind of, I'm currently trying to get more brands. I sometimes do modeling for work and I think it's really important for people to see people like us in like marketing campaigns and to see yourself represented, especially when it comes to buying underwear. So I try and reach out to as many brands as I can that create underwear or swimsuits and tell them this is what the condition is. And, you know, you don't have to hire me, but hire somebody at least that kind of has a condition like this so that we can see ourselves represented in it. Because when you're shopping online for bras and bikinis, you can't tell whether it's going to fit you. You have to try it on.
Yeah.
which is annoying. But also you see a lot of like art and drawings of like all boobs are good boobs, and they have like drawings of like big boobs, small boobs, pointy boobs, saggy boobs, and yeah, you never see one that's like, yeah, like mine. So yeah.
And I guess it also, that would be inclusive of people who've had mastectomies,
yeah,
so
yeah,
like for things like breast cancer. So I guess that's being inclusive in multiple ways.
You do see sometimes like mastectomy art things but they usually are like have a scar and they're missing a nipple. But in my case, I have two nipples. It's just one is big and
yeah,
like one boob is big and one boob is small, but you don't really ever see that represented anywhere.
Yeah.
So I think there's still a long way to go, but I do have a good feeling that we're getting closer to reaching that. But that's thanks to, like, you know, PIP, the charity, and there's a company called Evenly, and they make silicone boob fillers that you could put, bra fillers, sorry, that you can put into like your bra to kind of even it out. From so from the outside you can't tell that they've got like an uneven chest, and it comes in different sizes, and they do a lot for people with breast asymmetry and trying to raise awareness and normalize it. And I just hope that like more people come out with this and talk about it, and you know, that more is known, and that eventually doctors will take it more seriously and educate themselves on it. One time I went to a doctor and they said that like they didn't know what Poland syndrome was, so they were asking me about it, and then they Googled it and they were looking at articles about me while what? I was sitting next to them, and I was like, you could have just like ask me these questions.
Yeah, like I'm literally sitting right here and you've got a picture of me on your screen.
Yeah, they were just Googling like Poland That's syndrome funny. And it's like Rebecca Butcher, Becca Butcher,
oh my god,
Becca Butcher. And I was like, oh my god.
You're doing so many good things in this space, and I just think the fact that you've had so many people reach out to you is real inspiring. And yeah, I'm just like, I feel really proud of everything you've achieved. It's just awesome. And
thank you.
You've been such a fantastic guest as well, and thank you for being so open and so candid. And hopefully everyone listening has learnt something new if they didn't know anything about Poland syndrome already. But yeah, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you for having me. And yeah, all I ever want to do is educate people, and I really do hope that people learned something new today, something that they didn't know yesterday.
Yeah. I hope you enjoyed my chat with wonderful Becca. Please let me know on my Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, wherever, if you have any stories or thoughts of your own to share. And don't forget to vote for me. Peace.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.